Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our fantastic producer-engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, over on the board. It is Monday, October 30th, 2023, 6 minutes now past the hour of 1 o'clock. Welcome into hour number two of the big program. That's right. If you haven't listened to us in a week or so, you said, Todd, you just started. Well, that was the old time slot. We are now noon until two. Each and every day, Monday through Friday, followed by an expanded, action-packed two-hour edition of Matt Flynn Direct with our friend and colleague, Matt Flynn. So much, people were, see, here's what, as the unofficial president of the Matt Flynn fan club, we were getting letters, old-fashioned letters from people that just said, look, we can't get in, we need more Matt Flynn. And so we relented, and we happily said, yes, that's what we need.
Yeah, We actually had to get a bigger mailbox.
Yes, that's exactly what happened.
People couldn't get into the comedy club on state.
Right. Letterman, Paul Schaefer wrote that great little clip, we got letters. We've got letters. We've got lots and lots of letters.
Well, that makes me think of the Blue's Clues song about getting mail.
Oh, really? I love old-fashioned mail. Anyway, Matt Flynn Direct, we're happy that he is now 2 hours every day, two until four. So our program now at noon until two each and every day. Hour number two, going to talk a little bit more, and I have a caller on the line. I want to get to them. Some texts as well about the subject last hour, and that is MAGA Mike. MAGA Mike Johnson ascending to the speaker's chair, combined with Mike Pence dropping out. Does this mark the end of the old-fashioned Republican Party and truly the ascension of the MAGA Party in its place? I think it does. A couple of texters here. One from WMDX says, Martin in Verona says they love our sanity break programming. Thank you. We appreciate that. That's what we try to bring here. At least some sanity, not trying to, rev people up and gin them up just for the sake of ginning people up. We want honest dialogues. And we have, liberal, conservative, independent callers. All viewpoints welcome, as Matt Flynn says. So I appreciate that. Sanity break programming. I like that. Very nice, Martin. Says, I play it proud and loud in my shop for the MAGA coworkers to grimace about. Thanks. Well, I appreciate you play the program. But Martin, we try to be, it's not so much to goad anyone as to simply make people pause, reflect, and think. And I happen to believe in people. I happen to believe that, as Lincoln said, given the facts, they can find the truth. Of course, a beer doesn't help doesn't hurt as well. it helps everybody calm down a little. But don't have a beer at work, Martin. Thank you very much for listening in. Here is somebody from Madison on the WMDX line says, I think Mike Pence thought he could take down Donald Trump by running for president. Now I hope, since he has realized that route won't work, he starts talking. Republicans are like the people dancing around the golden calf when Moses went to get the Ten Commandments. They rely on Trump's strongman, quote unquote, instead of actually living out their faith. Donald J. Trump is their golden calf. So says the texter here in Madison. Also from Mark in the Sack says it's interesting that Baptists have suffered their persecution for their faith even into the early 19th century, where some were the strongest advocates for religious liberty and the separation of church and state. Now men like Mike Johnson want, similar to the Puritans of New England, that the state should be subservient, the handmaid, as it were, to the Christian church. And finally, we were talking about this before the break, that new speaker Mike Johnson wants to get rid of no-fault divorce, making it more difficult for people to get divorced, because he thinks that's the Christian thing to do. Here's a caller from MDX. He or she is a plumber in Madison, says, quote, it's too easy to file for divorce, but it's not as try that again, Todd, take two. It is easy to file for divorce, but it's not an easy process to finalize the divorce. If spouses do not agree on custody placement or division of property or finances, the process can get ugly and drawn out. I'm going on 2 years now of trying to finalize. So I think the point that divorce is too easy is laughable. Feel free to text us on the Civic Media app at any time. download it to your Apple or Android device. Nick, you've been holding through the break. We appreciate that. Nick from Madison, what say you?
Hey, thank you so much for taking my call here.
Of course.
The reason I was calling is because we were talking about kind of hit close to home to me, because I actually am a conservative, even though I live in Madison and I love this city.
Sure.
The Republican Party, it's not what it was. But I do need to disagree a little bit with you.
Sure.
When you say that, you know, Republican Party is done. In the next 5 to 10 years, Donald Trump will be dead. Okay, he's old.
Well, I don't wish that upon anyone, but I mean potentially could happen.
I don't. Yeah. I'm not saying I wish that.
Right.
I'm just saying
I get the point.
You know what once he's gone.
Right.
At that point, I think this fever dream might change. I don't know. Because the thing is, it's like all these conspiracy theories and supporting people who were just bad people, you know, that's not something that the Republican Party used to be.
I agree.
That's not the one I grew up with, you know.
No, I helped support and worked on Tommy Thompson's campaign, every race he worked on for governor, Bob Caston, former U.S. Senator for Wisconsin. But those people could not win a current Republican primary, in my opinion, Nick. I agreed with you, and I understand what you're saying. But when they when they throw out someone like the former speaker and put in this guy, Mike Johnson, say that Kevin McCarthy isn't conservative or doesn't meet their standards enough because he had the audacity to negotiate the government continuing to stay open and Ukrainian and Israeli aid combined. When, again, as you remember, Ronald Reagan called out the Soviet Union as the evil empire. When they want to do away with no-fault divorce, when they want to go back to the days when being gay was a crime, that wasn't the Republican Party that I necessarily grew up with. And I don't know that they could go back, because they've literally elected in the House to move forward with, in my words, crazy.
Well, I can kind of see that, but the thing is, it's as long as Donald Trump is still, you know, pulling the strings of the Republican Party, it's kind of like every time someone runs for any office whatsoever, I don't care if it's county clerk, he can just say, that's a nice campaign you have there. Be a shame if something happened to it.
Right.
And that's what's happening right now.
So I got to go to the next caller, Nick, but I'm very interested in your take on this before I let you go. As a conservative, acknowledging the party's change, and I appreciate that, what will you, and if you don't want to say this, fine. I'm just curious, genuinely curious. What will you do as a voter if the choice next fall is Donald Trump and Joe Biden?
I will leave that empty.
Okay, fair enough.
Let the chips fall where they may, because I'm not going to vote against my conscience in either way.
All right, fair enough. That's a fair answer. I really appreciate the honesty, Nick. Welcome anytime. Thanks for listening. Really appreciate it. Let's go to Ron in Milwaukee. Ron, go ahead.
Hi, Todd. A little more on this, your idea, which I tend to subscribe to mostly, that, you know, the Republican Party is dead, or at least the MAGA wing will be dead when Trump is. But there is another offsetting factor that has already been established that people tend to forget about or don't know about. Have you ever heard of the Overton window?
Boy, I think you got me on that one. I have not.
Okay. It's a political term. It was, and I don't know where it came from, a guy named Overton. But basically, he postulated that simplifying politics to two dimensions, where you have a left wing and a right wing, which is actually pretty simplified. We're looking at politics in this narrow, wide band as if it was a window. We're not seeing everything in politics. Mm. We're just seeing this narrow window. And on the far left are progressive Democrats and socialists and, you know, maybe communists. But on the far right, there's MAGAs and, you know, Nazis and everything else. But what's happened in the last 30 or 40 years is that through disinformation, media manipulation, whatever, the guys on the right have managed to move the Overton window, actually turn it towards the right, so that what used to be the common center is not would now be look very left wing.
Right.
And so the trick is going to have to be to move that window back to a reasonable area, because the regardless of what happens to the Republican Party, that window is still turned in the wrong direction. So people who consider themselves average Americans are going to still think of, you know, just somebody in the Democratic Party or everybody in the Democratic Party as totally crazy radical.
Right.
Until we get that Overton window rebalanced.
Well, I appreciate the insight. That's a great call, and that's part of our job. I mean, that's part of why civic media exists, to try to bring folks truth and facts, to try to offset the other media out there that's trying to just spew forth lies and misinformation. Appreciate that, Ron. Thank you so much, Ron in Milwaukee. We're going to come back and we're going to play a little What's Worse. But before we do, a couple of minutes here, I want to read you part of what Matthew Perry, the actor from Friends who passed away this weekend tragically, it appears of perhaps a heart attack in his hot tub. He wrote this before not as a letter, but in a previous interview and in his book, he wrote this. And I think this is very important about Matthew Perry. This is what Matthew Perry said of himself. He said, quote, "I've had a lot of ups and downs in my life. I'm still working through it personally. But the best thing about me is that if an alcoholic or drug addict comes up to me and says, will you help me? I'll always say yes. I know how to do that. I will do that for you, even if I can't always do it for myself. So I do that whenever I can, in groups and one-on-one. And I created the Perry House in Malibu, a sober living facility for men. I also wrote my play, The End of of Longing, which is a personal message to the world, an exaggerated form of me as a drunk. I had something important to say to people like me and to people who love people like me. When I die, I know people will talk about friends. I'm glad for that. Happy I've done some solid work as an actor, as well as given multiple people chances to make fun of my struggles on the World Wide Web. But when I die, as far as my so-called accomplishments go, it'd be nice if friends were listed far behind the things I did to try to help other people. I know it won't happen, but it'd be nice. Matthew Perry, today we recognize that, and we thank you for all the work that you did to help other people. May you rest in peace. Back after this on the Todd Humble Show and Civic Media. Truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Humble Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 20 past the hour of 1 o'clock. Mr. Zommer's on the board, having you along on a fine Monday. Beautiful here, at least here in Madison. Sunny skies, but looking for up to 2 inches of snow tomorrow. So break out the snow boots if you're trick-or-treating. A lot to get to today, and I promoed, I teased in the first hour we were going to talk about Tara Johnson, one of the candidates for the 3rd District Congressional race, picking up some key Democratic endorsements, including Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski. Also promoed and teased on the UW system. What are Democrats doing to get this word out? Simply too much today, Mr. Zommers. We're going to have to put those off till tomorrow. So I apologize.
That's just how the cookie crumbles.
But the thing I love is that, because I don't always know, like you open it, you start the day, you don't know who the heck's going to call. You just hope people are listening and want to chime in. And I love the fact that we got so many phone calls in hour one that we didn't have time to get to these other things. Not that they're not important. We'll pick them up tomorrow. But I love the fact that people could call in. We could have thoughtful, meaningful dialogue conversations. So more of that.
Absolutely. And it's also important because we're not always correct. And sometimes when people call in, it's to provide corrections. And that's really important.
Again, it's about bringing people the truth.
Get different perspectives in there and everything.
Yeah, that's what we want. Time now, once again, for our new segment called What's Worse? And this is one that I heard this yesterday and I'm like, all right, this is what's worse. So we want you to listen. These are two clips from people singing the Star Spangled Banner. One from quite a while ago. We'll use Roseanne. This is a Roseanne Barr. I can't remember, Mrs. Amers, if this was a playoff game or the World Series, but this was Roseanne several years ago. Roseanne Barr, the former actress and comedian that had the Roseanne or the Roseanne show, singing the national anthem. And then we're going to play you Flava Flav, who is a rapper, wears the big clock around his neck all the time. The Bucks put him at center court over the weekend to sing the Star Spangled as well. So the question is, what's worse, Roseanne Barr or Flava Flav singing the national anthem? Mr. Zomers, let's hear just a clip from Roseanne Barr.
Yes, this is from 1990, a San Diego Padres game.
Yeah. All right, that's enough of that. As you can tell, the crowd was booing her, even. But at least she was screaming it. But the tone was fairly close. I mean, it was very fast and all that. Here was Flava Flav over the weekend in Milwaukee at a Bucks game.
Oh, say, can you see? By the dawn's early light.
This is actually the best part.
Yes.
If you want to
what so proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming.
Honest to goodness, that was the best part of the song. It gets progressively
a little bit
worse. All right.
And the Rockets red glare.
Not bad. Oh, not bad hitting
the
that note.
The bomb burst, sting in there.
You literally pick the two best parts of the song. It's fine. But all right, enough of that. But the point is, it went on for like 2.5 minutes. If you watch the Bucks players, they were very uncomfortable. There was like, come on, let's get this over with. It was just, look, I'm kind of a fan of a traditional Star Spangled Banner. I'm a fan of a traditional national anthem. And I want to make it very clear. If someone wants to kneel during the Star Spangled Banner, that's their right. I wouldn't do it. It's not something that I think is appropriate, but I'm not going to deny someone to make a political statement. That's their right too. That's fine. I'm talking about the people who sponsor the event, the Padres and the Bucks, putting people like Roseanne Barr, who grabbed her crotch at the end of that, by the way. And then Flava Flav, who, you know, it was, it reminds me back when I used to work in, I was a youth director for our church a long time ago. And I went to a conference, and this guy giving the conference said, look, y'all got people singing specials in your church, and there's nothing special about them. Wake up and smell the coffee, right? You don't put people on the center stage who just don't have the chops or the talent to do that song justice. I think the person performing the song should do it out of respect to the men and women who have put on the uniform, who have served. And again, that's different from individuals listening to it who want to make a political statement, kneeling or otherwise. But the people performing the song, I believe, should do it respectfully. And the organizations scheduling them. So what's worse, Roseanne Barr or Flava Flav singing the national anthem? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Kurt in Madison, what's worse?
Well, I was there last night.
All right, very good. What did you think of it?
Well, as a veteran, I mean, this Roseanne singing was worse, but he gets the winning bell of being the worst because he didn't have the common sense to remove his hat off his head, which really annoyed me.
Thank you.
The entire thing.
Yes, I absolutely agree. Nothing annoys me more when I go to a sporting event or anywhere where the national anthem is played and people don't remove their hats. Again, it's out of respect for people like you who served.
Good show. Thanks.
Yep. Thank you, Kurt. Really appreciate your call. What's worse, Roseanne Barr or Flava Flav singing the national anthem? Dick and Madison, go ahead.
Well, if I give them a tie, would they both promise to never, ever again do this?
I hope so. I hope so. I like that answer.
We can get that out of them. It's the other thing that annoys me is people have got to be running their mouths all the way through the national anthem as well.
Yes. Stop talking and take a minute and a half or 2 minutes and salute the people who died for our freedom.
But, no, I'm going to give it a tie.
All right. Fair enough.
Hopes that they both know. Go away, both of you.
Thanks, Dick. Appreciate it. Let's go to Deb in Madison listening on MDX. What's worse, Roseanne Barr or Flava Flav singing the national anthem?
Well, I think they both did a pretty terrible job, but I have to say I think Roseanne Barr is just the worst all the way around.
All right, fair enough. Fair enough.
All right.
Thanks for the vote, Deb. What's worse, still about a minute or so, well, about a minute to call in, 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Who's worse singing the national anthem? Flava Flav at the Bucks game last night or Roseanne Barr?
My answer is Fergie.
Fergie,
singing the
really?
National anthem. I just think Fergie's worse than either of those.
Really?
Well,
the rendition or just like everything?
The rendition and just like turning it into like a little sexy cocktail thing,
right,
but not pulling it off at all.
For my money, no one will ever outdo Whitney Houston at the Super Bowl.
Oh, if we're talking about good ones, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's the way you do it, folks. Your model should be Whitney Houston. Respect to the veterans out there. That's the point. Great calls. We'll have more, another What's Worse tomorrow. Stay tuned now. We're going to welcome in Sarah Bunting talking about the new Frasier reboot and television in general, the writer's strike and the actor's strike. Will it follow suit? Don't go anywhere on the Todd Elmore Show. Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. It was like a three-take thing. We got the mics are on. Very good. Welcome back to the show. This is the fun part of the show. Not pursuing we pursue the truth anyway, but also having fun doing it. 34 minutes now past the hour, 1 o'clock. Mr. Sommer's on the board. Appreciate you joining us on a beautiful Monday, at least here in Madison, Wisconsin. Head out to beautiful Brooklyn, part of the borough system in New York City. And joining us once again, welcome her back to the show, Sarah Bunting from Extra Hot Great. Sarah, great to have you along with us. We were talking before we went on the air. It is it's cold in Brooklyn, but I would say cool because we're at like 30 degrees here today.
Yeah, y'all are like professional colds. We're just amateur cold. I mean, but it was 80 the other day, so we're being babies about it, kind of. But this is like Halloweenish weather. I'm comfortable with it.
It feels good. And Brooklyn, a lovely city. I was just out there about a month and a half ago with my sister. We went and saw Kimberly Akimbo. We stayed in Brooklyn, and we walked around a little bit, and we stumbled across the, correct me if I'm wrong, it's the Frank Sinatra Performing Arts School that was funded by Tony Bennett. Oh, geez, I had a memory.
Yes.
A memory lapse there for a second. A beautiful place and right in the heart of Brooklyn, and this great opportunity for young people.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really something. I mean, and people forget how huge Brooklyn is. I live way at the other end of it in Saturday Night Fever country.
Oh,
but
nice.
We like it here.
Well, very good.
Very fond of it.
Well, we're fond of having you here because your site, Extra Hot Great, is fantastic and keeping track of television and all things entertainment. Talking a little bit about reboots today, and specifically this new reboot of Kelsey Grammer's former hit, Frasier. They have brought it back on the stream of Paramount Plus, and it launched, a week ago or so, or available. Have you had a chance to watch a little bit of this, and how does it stack up the original?
Less font of
I haven't
this
watched it yet.
Than I am.
Oh.
I mean, here's the thing. It's not terrible, but I just, my husband and I are in the middle of watching the original right now.
Okay.
sort of marching through it in order. And it really was such a quality show. Mm-hmm. And before that, we had been watching Cheers, which, of course, Frasier had spun off of. And I just found myself wondering, watching this new one, why is this and who is it for? Because what's the expression that the character has in Pet Sematary? Sometimes dead is better. Like, just just leave it alone. Like, it's not... There were a couple of times in the first couple episodes where I snorted or was like, right. But, I mean, that's it. And most of the time it just felt very labored and pointless, and like I would rather just watch the old one, because right. The old one has all the great character actors that made the success of that show possible, and that chemistry is not repeated in the new one. It's just my opinion. If you're enjoying it, not trying to rain on anyone's parade.
I've read other reviews very similar to this. And for those that might not know exactly what we're talking about, there was the old hit series on NBC, Cheers, with Ted Danson, of course. And then Kelsey Grammer was kind of the smart guy, the professor type, the very highly educated, kind of a snob, who was sat at the other end of the bar from the goofballs, you know, at the bar. And then they spun this off as the Frasier. They took him to Seattle. And I thought that the original Frasier, Sarah, was one of the most well-written comedies I'd ever watched.
Yeah, it absolutely was. And it had the perfect cast, the perfect setup. They gave Frasier a radio show, so you could do a lot of things with that workplace mm-hmm. and his colleagues there. They gave him this brother who was like him, but not as much like him. And David Hyde Pierce's performance is really the sort of the heart of the comedy mm-hmm. in that show. And the late, great John Mahoney as their blue-collar retired cop dad. You know, for obvious reasons, John Mahoney cannot return to a reboot right. As technology is currently envisioning acting. But when David Hyde Pierce declined to move forward with this reboot or revival, I guess you would call mm-hmm. it, if you have mm-hmm. the original characters and the original actors,
yeah,
I just feel like the universe should have signaled to Kelsey Grammer et al., this baby should not go forward. This maybe is not wanted by the universe, but here we all are talking about it.
Do you think is it simply just the money that Kelsey Grammer said, well, there's a lot of money in it for him, or do you think he really wanted it to be, he thought it could be as good at least as the original?
I think sometimes it's, you know, everybody signed their contracts and once the train has left the station, that's kind of it. But I don't think it's the money. He's, you know, he can't possibly need the money at this point. He has mm-hmm. led other shows. They weren't nearly as high profile, of course, but he was, you know, he was on Boss and mm-hmm. he was the title character on that. And I think that this was just a really fulfilling, fantastic character to play and a wonderful world to inhabit. And he wanted to go back there, but you can't always get the band back together. And
it's tough.
Yeah.
One of the reboots or revivals, as you said, that I thought did work. I'm not sure if you saw it. I was a big Will and Grace fan, the original. And I thought that, you know, that was brought back, correct me if I'm wrong, in 2016, they got them all together basically for hey, we shouldn't vote for Trump. It was like a 5-minute, 6-minute infomercial, essentially, saying that vote Democratic. And the chemistry was just all there. And that kind of prompted NBC to bring it back, you know, in broadcast. And I thought that was one of the few reboots that, wow, the characters had aged very, very well, physically, in my opinion. And the timing, the comedy, the writing, the directing, it was like they never left.
Yeah, I wasn't a big Will and Grace watcher in either iteration, but mm-hmm. I work with people who watched all of it. And I think that they... The sense was that was just closer to the original and not, you know, you had more of the key elements returning in the new version. And it felt a little more organic, I guess would be mm-hmm. the right word. This idea of returning to check in on these characters, the Sex and the City and Just Like That revival, I guess, or reboot is one that also, like, I don't think it succeeds, and I would rather read about other people making fun of it than watch it myself. And I did like the original. I didn't think it was perfect, but I, you know, I went to see the movie in the theater. I was happy to reunite with those characters, but I think that that one also tries to stay close to the spirit of the original and try to have an ear for what people loved about the original. Not that the Frasier version doesn't do that. I just think there's too many substitutions that had to be made from the original dish that, you know, you order this like comfort food and what comes out is this unrecognizable crown roast and you're like, but we're at a Arby's. Like, I don't know. It's hard to say.
I think your point earlier is well taken in that the original Frasier for me was two things. It was the writing, but then it was the chemistry acting. It wasn't just Kelsey Grammer alone, although he was great in that. It was, to your point, the reaction that he got playing off of David Hyde Pierce's, you know, his brother Niles or his dad or Daphne, the housekeeper later Niles's girlfriend. It was that chemistry that just made the thing sing. And apparently we don't have this in the reboot.
You just have too many other variables that have been replaced, and then there's just this awkward knowing sort of in a meta sense off screen that people will not be appearing or that people will only be showing up in a guest role. And that's one of the, not problems, but it just is what it is, that here in 2023, we civilians know a lot more about how television sausage is made and who has agreed to what and who has spoken to the Hollywood Reporter about what and why. So in a situation like this, like when you go into it knowing and having read between the lines of a rather formal statement from David Hyde Pierce explaining why he's not returning, that it's a little harder to make that leap of faith when if you compare it to when Frasier premiered, a quarter of a century ago.
So without telling any stories out of school, but give us the reading between the lines, David Hyde Pierce. What is he basically saying? Why didn't he return? Why didn't he want to be a part of this?
Well, I forget the exact wording, but he basically said that he felt that he had taken that story as far as he could take it with that character, and he had decided not to return. And what I sort of read into it, and again, I don't know anybody here personally, and I am telling tales out of school because that's what I do. That's why you have me on the show. But
Finding extra hot, great, by the way, but go ahead. Yeah.
And I think I talked a little bit about this when we talked about it on the podcast, and I encourage people to check that episode out. There's a lot more swearing than there is here. Fair warning. I think what he was kind of maybe trying to communicate to Kelsey Grammer without exactly saying it was ... And you should also be content to just leave it alone. Like, pop some popcorn.
Yeah.
Get out some Blue Label scotch and just watch the reruns like everybody else and enjoy the accomplishment. But,
or create something original. Right? I mean, try to, do something original. So let's talk about a little bit. Again, we're talking with Sarah Bunting, has a great podcast called Extra Hot Great. Encourage you to check it out. Let's talk about this whole notion of the reboot in the streaming age. Why are so many of these older shows or former shows being rebooted and then going right to streaming?
I think that there are cost issues there and ownership of intellectual property issues where parent companies would like to save a little money just reimagining intellectual property that they already own, and then they can hedge their bets, I think, by sending it to the streaming service versus sending it to broadcast. Now, I'm not a business of television person. I'm just a person who sits in front of the screen and is like, that is good, that is bad, I don't like that. What happened to the dog? But I think that there is you know, the business of TV is preeminent when it comes to creating television, creating stories, you know, unfortunately, I guess, how well it's going to do and what kind of return you're going to get on your investment and what you can tell the shareholders tends to take center stage, so to say, in this decision making. So I think if you're a development executive for one of these networks, you look at something like the Frasier IP and you think, well, you know, that show did gangbusters business for us for a really long time. But just in case people aren't keen, let's put it on Paramount Plus, and then it's, I don't know, then like not less embarrassing if it fails, but just less high profile. You're less getting fewer, I don't know, no's from advertisers. I don't know the decision making, but
it's a very different world. I mean, I saw a piece over the weekend, of course, with Matthew Perry passing, and we read a little bit of in his own words saying that not. It was not a note. I want to be clear. He wrote a book. He also had interviews, but saying, you know, when the day does come, everybody's going to talk about Friends, but I hope people remember what I did for fellow people who are addicts and tried to help them out. Mm-hmm. And this story went on to, you know, mention that Friends, their finale had like some 50 some million people watching the finale. Of course, MASH, I think, had at close to 100,000. We'll never see those numbers again, right, Sarah? And so it's such a diversified audience and content out there that do you think that all these reboots are a way just to kind of fill this space?
Yeah, or to have something that you, even if it's a qualified success, you can tie it to success or get eyeballs and signups. If people decide they would rather watch the old stuff, you own that too. So you can pull people in that way.
Very good. We're talking with Sarah Bunting from the great podcast called Extra Hot Great. Come back more on the other side. Talk about the writer's strike. Will they follow the actor's strike? Will they follow the writers? Back more after this. The Todd Ball Show on the Civic Media Ready Number.
Sometimes that is better.
Welcome back to the Todd Oddball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 10 minutes now before the hour of 2 o'clock. That is 10 minutes away from Matt Flynn Direct, our friend and colleague Matt Flynn, in with a brand new program, News of the Weekend, taking you to the front lines of history being made. Going to learn something, probably going to get a laugh as well. Matt Flynn Direct every afternoon after the news from 2 until 4. Glad to have him following us. Glad to have our guest this half hour, Sarah Bunting from the great podcast called Extra Hot Great. Great entertainment insight news as well. Sarah, talking kind of to finish up this subject of reboots, we're talking about the new reboot of Frasier on Paramount. Sarah telling us probably doesn't live up quite to expectations, those of us who love the original. Are there any reboots out there that you thought got it right, that you thought kind of were good ones to watch?
I thought the One Day at a Time reboot really did a great job just sort of starting fresh, getting at taking the parts of the original that were still going to resonate with people in the 21st century and then just kind of expanding the horizon, focusing on a family of color, like broadening the cultural view. And got some fantastic performances there. And the writing was really good and smart and had a good ear for that balance in a family sitcom where if there is going to be a lesson learned at the end or an oh from the studio audience, you have to be judicious about those moments. Right. And that show really knew how to tug the old heartstrings. I am not a big fan of feeling sniffly at a sitcom. I would rather everyone just be a horrible person and throw around a bunch of one-liners. But that one got me many times. Really? And the great Rita Moreno, national treasure, was fantastic on that show and I think won an Emmy for it. So yeah, that one was successful. It is possible. It's just, you know, the odds are never in your favor, alas.
And the great Norman Lear, I mean, still getting it done at 100 years old. I mean, isn't that incredible?
His little hat.
Right? and he was still very involved in that reboot.
Mm-hmm. Which might explain right. why it still had that wonderful ear for itself and was emotional without being saccharine. Right. So, yeah.
And if you're not familiar, Norman Lear, great producer, great writer, I mean, responsible or at least partially responsible for not just One Day at a Time, but All in the Family, the Jeffersons, Maude, who else am I leaving out? Yeah, just some of the best shows of all time.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk a little bit about, Sarah, about Extra Hot Great. Again, we're in a new time slot now, 9 until 2. Perhaps folks might have missed the first time you were on. But you can always go back, folks, and listen to that show in podcast form. But your podcast, Extra Hot Great, Sarah, tell folks a little bit about how it started and what you all cover on the show.
Well, we recently celebrated our 10th anniversary, hey. Which I really cannot believe.
Congrats.
I started it when I was, 20, everybody. I didn't. It is a podcast that I do with a rotating cast of guests and also my longtime working partners, David Cole and Tara Ariano. I think Tara's been a guest yes. mm-hmm. on your show in the past. Many, many years ago, when God was a child, we founded a site called TelevisionWithoutPity.com, and we did recaps there. We've done another site or two in the meantime, and then we shifted into podcasting. It's like a slightly more involved story than that. But basically, on Extra Hot Great, we're talking about the TV of the day, sometimes old TV that we're watching. We play games on the show, TV trivia games. We declare winners and losers of the week in TV. We have a great time, and we would love for you guys to join us. You can get that wherever you get your podcasts.
Extra Hot Great. It's a great podcast. I encourage people to subscribe and download it and listen wherever you get your podcasts. Before we let you go, about 2.5-3 minutes here, Sarah Bunting from Extra Hot Great. Update us if you would. The writers have gone back to work. Thank goodness they've got this deal. A lot of it was revolving around AI, artificial intelligence, and how their writing would be handled into the future with the big companies. Where are things at on the actors' strike? Because they have many of the same concerns.
They do. And I, like you, we were talking about this before we went on the mic, before I came on, and I kind of thought that the actors' strike would also be settled with terms favorable to everyone shortly after the writers came to terms. And, I am, full disclosure, married to a former soap actor, and I think the concerns are the same. They just haven't figured out a way to kind of adapt the terms so that they also work for actors. I think fear of being replaced by AI. I think super teeny fine print in contracts that says that we can just sort of replicate your image and footage of you talking to, I don't even know, sell limited edition Doritos tied to this IP. Right. Like, I don't know exactly what the concerns are, but in an age where it's increasingly splintered across streaming and residuals are much smaller, I think that the concerns are very much the same between the writers' union and the actors' union, that they're not going to be compensated, forget fairly, adequately,
right,
in perpetuity. And so I think they're still trying to sort out how it's slightly different for actors and on-camera talent than it is for the creators of the stories. And I hope they'd figure it out yeah. because, my husband used to get a little check every now and then from that time that he was on Unsolved Mysteries as an undercover cop.
Really? That's great.
And now he doesn't. So, but
that's,
you know,
one, of the, that's guys, one of the key points, right, Jared? Is that an actor in the infancy? Well, it doesn't matter. I mean, maybe in middle of their career, they go in and they do a bit role or something or a commercial. And then all of a sudden they get a project and they take off and they become an A-lister or whatever. And they're trying to fight and say, hey, you can't take my image when I wasn't that popular and just replicate it if I become a big star and sell your product without giving something back to me.
Right. Well, and that series are much shorter now. I mean, the old Frasier was 22 or 24 episodes a season. Right. current Frasier is going to be what, 10 or 13? So
maybe for the better.
It's just a different landscape. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, yeah, it's a different landscape though. And the people creating the content don't feel protected. So good luck to everybody and, you know, support your unions.
Support your unions indeed. Sarah Bunting, catch the podcast called Extra Hot Great. Sarah, thank you so much for coming back to the program. Welcome anytime. Love your insight.
Oh, delight as always. Thanks so much.
Yep, my pleasure. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Mr. Zommers, on the board. Thank you to all the callers today. Really appreciate the perspective. Stay tuned now. Matt Flynn of Matt Flynn Direct follows the news. We'll see you tomorrow. Whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, keep banging your drum.